Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to our weekly Sunrise Project call, where it's always a safe space filled with love and compassion and our mutual desire to heal ourselves and our families and our communities. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It is a beautiful Sunday morning again since we're here. We woke up and we're here together. So
It's
that
a
makes
bit
it
cool.
beautiful.
It's a bit cool in the DMV. When I left this morning at 6:30 to go to Pilates, it was cold.
Was it?
42 degrees. And I didn't have
Wow.
a jacket, but I'm pleased to be here too, Kelly. And I'm just gonna hop right in. You don't have to introduce me. I'm Linda McGee. I'm a clinical psychologist. I now teach at George Washington and supervise assessment at, which is testing at Loyola. I speak and write on issues of culture, race, and I run a podcast called The Multicultural Psychologist. But my first podcast is The Sunrise Project. And
Thank you.
I'm
Yes.
happy to say that I'm whatever I am, resident expert. And I have was the original person to come on this show.
Yes, you
And
were.
I had someone come up to me when I was in California, and they brought up the Sunrise Project. And so for all these mornings that Kelly and I have gotten up, when she said to me that it was a lifeline for her when she was going through some things with her son,
Yes.
it just made it all worth it, right? And you can reach me. I'm all over the web. So you can reach me. All of the contacts come to me. So Kelly, you don't have to introduce me. I
I
just
know, I'm
wanted
like, you
to,
just jumped right in. I'm like, wait, what just happened?
I just
That's what
decided to do it.
girlfriends
I'm doing
do.
it
They just say
myself.
nope. All right. Well, I'm not mad at that. It's all good.
I guess one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is Kelly asked me for a topic because even though this is open mic, we wanted to like start centering around just themes. And so when I was looking at Facebook the other day, it came up where someone said to the question of, how do you make friends in a new place? Right. And they were talking about, well, if you politically, if you don't say anything, then it's just peace. Right. And you don't, and I was just like, well, how is that peace? Right. If people shut up, that's basically what the woman said. If people shut up, then there's peace. Right. And that's what came to me around peace versus conflict. Right. And I think fundamentally we choose peace sometimes, but sometimes when we choose peace, we're avoiding conflict and we're not standing up for ourselves, and we're just bottling in a lot of things. And obviously, it's a huge, huge, hugely difficult to know when to say when, and to know when to speak, and to know when to say, "Hey, I'm gonna be quiet here because I have a child at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and I got four more payments," right? But to understand though, when we're quiet, even though that is the prudent thing to do, that's not peace. You're taking in, you're sucking in all of that hostility. We're taking in all of that hate. And so I wanted to just open with that. And also I wanted to give people the space to talk about what's going on in America for Black people, including, tearing down of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. The high unemployment rate. I read that in Maryland, a lot of the women that have been laid off because of the federal government layoffs have been unable to find work. So it's heavy, heavy time in America if you're Black. And even if you're doing okay and staying stable, to see your friends struggle. So I just wanted to like open it up first to you, Kelly, and then to our audience to see if anybody has some thoughts.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say about you're talking. Well, our topic for today is about finding peace in the midst of conflict. And I think, and what you started talking about in terms of being quiet is sometimes what I think a lot of us do is really stuffing the pain. And that's, and just saying, I'm not going to say anything. That's, I think, the worst thing we can do because just stuffing the pain, putting the mask on. Doesn't address, what the
It's a
challenge
struggle.
is, right?
It's a
But most
struggle.
of us do that. Most of us do
Well,
that.
we do. I'm wrestling with it. That's why I wanted to talk about it and be vulnerable about it. It's like we say, well, it won't help, or, but again, I'm not suggesting that we go in any situations with guns blazing, but just be real with ourselves that
Right.
while we're choosing quiet, right?
Yes.
And I'm deliberately using quiet as a counterpoint to peace, right? Because
Right.
that's not really peace. That's just quiet. Because have you ever worked in a job, Kelly, where or D, where you felt like no peace, but you didn't say anything? You weren't getting treated
Yes, of
right.
course.
You were getting microaggressions. And sometimes, like I said, we're quiet for a reason. We need to find another job. We need to feed these growing boys. They're not gonna listen. We're quiet for a reason, and a lot of them are rational, but I'm just saying that it comes at a cost.
Right. Well, and the cost is ourselves. And so I think the whole point of Sunrise and why we're here every week is to come together and know that this is a safe. It's a shame-free, it's a guilt-free space where people can open up and share their pain. I see Michelle who spoke up and said, this is say, I mourn pain, my pain, and my quiet is becoming more painful each day. I'm so sorry, Michelle. And I'm imagining, I don't know if you are comfortable sharing what that pain might be, but I imagine it might be related to your child or children or something you're dealing with personally. But Dr. Lynn, do you want to talk about that morning pain?
Yeah, I just it's such a it's like Michelle and I are on the same wavelength. It's like I too am feeling like my quiet is getting more painful. It's not sitting as well. I can't rationalize it as much, right? And to feel that you're internalizing the pain of being a woman, internalizing pain in your relationship, internalizing pain that comes from raising children in this society, internalizing the pain that children that may have turned against us, right? So we have a lot of pain that we're carrying, and it just hits deep when I see I mourn the pain, right? Because it's you go through a grief process around just internalizing and keeping that pain within you, right? It's not a peace-free peace. It's just quiet. And the pain is the only thing that is making noise, but we don't heed it, right? And so her comment, Michelle's comment about mourning the pain is just really centers us in the discussion of that pain is there. That anger is there, right? That hurt is there. I feel so angry right now about this country. And it is many ways freeing to say it. I'm paraphrasing one of our ancestors by saying, if you're not enraged, you're not alive. But speaking to this pain, speaking to the hurt, I think helps. And so that's why I wanted to talk about like why what we're saying is peace. Is some of that is very pain.
And I'd say sometimes, and I see Nicole has her hand up, so I'm going to get there in a second, but I do think, I remember, like you said, back in the early days of Sunrise, at the height of my pain, and despair and drama and trauma and all of it with my family, I remember going out to the water and just screaming at the top of my lungs, just to get it out. And it helped to get it out, like physically, and get it out. And then there were just days I just cried, didn't get out of bed, and went through that. And at some point, I really did ask God for help. And I started doing that consistently. I'm Christian and always have been, but really hadn't leaned into asking for help and turning my life completely over to say, I am surrendering. And when I finally did that, things started to change in a good way. And so I just want to offer that. That was helpful to me, first getting it out, physically and emotionally, and letting it out, and then like releasing it, and then asking God for help and turning my life over.
Do that a lot in terms of for those of people that do this. I do it a lot, to help me to not press away the anger, but to not hate. Right. So I found that quote. This is from Maya Angelou. If you're not angry, you're either a stone or you're too sick to be angry. You should be angry, but you must not be bitter. Bitterness is like cancer. It eats upon the host. It doesn't do anything to the object of its displeasure. So use that anger. Yes, you write it, you paint it, you dance, you march it. You vote it. You don't, you do everything about it. You talk it, never stop talking it. And so that just sort of hits that, even though I didn't have this, I just searched it 2 seconds ago. It just sort of hits upon everything that I was talking about, which is that you have to process it, right? Find a way to process it. But if you don't process it, I think it turns on us. And as someone who's dealt with the illnesses of others and myself in the last couple of years, I'm acutely aware of what happens to people that internalize pain and hurt. I definitely think that it comes out in our physical health and well-being, and studies show that it does.
Agree. Agree. Thank
It
you for sharing,
becomes
Michelle. And we'll
bitterness.
pray for you.
Thank you,
I'll pray for
Michelle.
you.
Absolutely.
I see Nikki,
Nicole,
Nicole, your hand is
Nicole.
up. Before you speak, let me just say, Nikki, if anyone didn't hear our episode with Nicole Brown from about 3 weeks ago, so phenomenal. You can get the replay on the website. Oh my gosh, she shared and was just phenomenal. So I want to thank you again, Nikki, for speaking and say good morning. So,
Good day. Thank you for that, Kelly. Thank you, Dr. Linda. It's Linda, right, McGee? Yes. Oh God. I'm asking God for the governance of this conversation that I'm about to express. Because what was coming up for me as I was listening to you all speak is how I've been moving through the occurrences in this world is that I've been moving with communities that are ready to take action. Action at a multitude of levels. Action at the level of prayer, action at the level of meditation, action at the level of community consciousness. What does that look like for us? I said to a younger woman yesterday, it's because we've been asking people to provide us something God gave us at birth. And so, what does that look like when we are moving with God on God's land, designing lives for ourselves in ways that make us feel safe and peaceful? And I say this in the midst of For almost a year, it's coming up on a year, I've been being stalked by some unknown person. Most likely it is a person who knows me and has known me a very long time, but I don't know who it is, right? And so they sent letters, they sent text messages. They've come to my front door, but I have no visual images of them. So I'm in the process of working with the police to hopefully get the footage from the building's camera. And now I have a camera on my apartment door in case they return. What I had to do was pray because I don't know what else to do. So I do a recovery. And so my sponsor says, you have to pray for them. I said, she must be getting high. I am not praying for them. And then one day I found myself feverishly praying on my prayer wall for this enemy of mine. And the Holy Quran, it says, we fight with those who fight with us. I'm peacefully minding my business. I'm bothering no one. If they come to my front door, it is incumbent upon me within my natural human, probably animalistic rights to protect myself and my family against my assailant, potential assailant, right? And so the only thing I know that is moving me through this disappointment, this anger, this potential fear is my faith. I have to have the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, and probably smaller than that, because a mustard seed I can actually see. I have to have faith that is invisible, because this person, this entity, this thing is unknown to me. And so I feel like with the things that are happening in the world and in this country, is that a lot of it is rooted in fear. Fear of the folks thinking that black folks gonna somehow do to them what they've done to us. And we ain't even that type of people. So the only way I know to do it is to galvanize with those who think like me, who move like me, who are raising children like me. And even when we disagree, that our foundational sameness is enough to have us forge forward in community consciousness, in wealth consciousness, in financial literacy, whatever it is that we are doing to combat. I won't even say combat because that means I'm positioning myself for fighting. That I am almost doing what Neo did in the movie where the bullet is moving, but I'm moving at a faster pace, invisible to the naked eye, such that the bullet surpasses me. And at the moment that I step outside of God consciousness, that's when I get hit. And so, as long as we stay, at least for me, rooted in power greater than myself, then nothing and no one can penetrate my mind, my heart, my body, or my soul. Because at the end of the day, if glory is where we're out to get to in your way, whether I live or I die, I'm still walking with God. So that's all I gotta say. That's all I'm thinking in this moment, because I personally can't afford the bitterness, the anger, the upset, because it could kill me.
I just want us to sit with that for a second. I don't want to talk over it.
Right. I agree completely. It's beautiful.
But
Thank you, Nikki.
beautiful, beautiful. Someone expressed it on the internet the other day. They talked about us coming through the middle passage, right? I read stories every day. To me, that's one of the few things that now social media is really good for, is I read stories about us every day. The extraordinary, ain't no way this ever happened stuff that we have done to make it through, to achieve, to walk around. And my faith and my respect, and I feel like sometimes we're being carried by our ancestors and they're just pushing
All the
us
time.
ahead. And they're just saying, hey, They're not saying we did this, you can do this. We're saying they're saying us move forward. Move forward, Grace. Find some peace in your life. Find someone that you can help along the way. Find some meaning for your life, right? Find peace, right? Because even living in more perilous times than us, a lot of those people still live with joy. And I think one of the reasons why I'm praying so much, Nikki's praying so much, Kelly's praying so much, is that I want peace, and real peace, right? And the Bible says the peace that passes under all understanding, right? I don't want to feel stirred up all the time. But I will say this, I went to this very, very controversial, well, not controversial. I went to a Bible study. And they were talking about the things that man took out of the Bible, right? So a lot of the things that were in the Bible, they spoke about, subservience and these kinds of things. And they also talk about people rising up, seeking justice, seeking truth. And a lot of those seeking justice, seeking truth things were removed from the Bible, right, by men and ruling organizations. And so I just wanted to put that out there to say that a part of healing from trauma, particularly race-based trauma, is to process, to heal. But it really, the third tenet of liberation psychology is to fight, to figure out how your little place in this struggle. Right? It could just be like one election year. I just wrote postcards. That's my favorite. When I'm bad, I see something on the news, I just go write postcards for a Senate race in Georgia, for this or that. But just to one, it could be volunteering at a shelter. I mean, it doesn't have to be political, but find a way to do your part. Find a way that's something that speaks to your soul. And do that, right? Anyone else? And it doesn't have to be this topic. We still want to preserve the right for you to speak to your children and things that are going on with you and struggles that you might have.
Good morning.
Good
It's
morning. Good morning.
me. I was thinking about everything and lessons learned. I can't elevate more about the impact on the physical health. A lot of the things that I'm working on now, luckily, exercise is giving me an outlet to deal with the frustration and annoyance. And I think that that's the challenge for me is I often am just in a state of annoyance, and it's not that hardcore anger as much, but it's that, what are you talking about? What is happening? And it's so frustrating that I'm now aware of the tightening of the chest. Before when I was going through all of this stuff, I don't think I was as aware of my body, but I think that particularly with Black women, Black folks, that we really need to listen to our bodies more, so that we can find other outlets. I'm full circle now in my healthier stage. I'm probably healthier now than I ever was, but that hasn't been without unbelievable amount of medical treatments, hysterectomy, like all kinds of things, gastro issues that I've had to address that have forced. And as I'm speaking to, sister friends, et cetera, that is still the key area where we're really struggling with. And then, I'm just expressing it, then I have some really good friends, quite a few of them with doctorates, who have been out of work, and they've never not worked. So the psychological toll on women who have worked their entire lives and now being unable to get employment over being overqualified has been a lot. And I'm not really sure how to be a better support, a go around to listen, but it's a thing, and I'm just trying to figure out different ways. One girlfriend, I just went and gave her a massage, and so I don't know how we can be more supportive of that. So that was just my two cents. It just hurts me to watch them, and I have absolutely no way. And the psychological, maybe, I don't know if we have more opportunities for them to get some mental health, but because their insurance is now cut, or they're doing that COBRA, the super expensive insurance, there's not an outlet.
All right.
So.
The level of pain, particularly economic pain, and it runs really, really deep. And there's no easy answers because, you can always point them to resources. You can share, podcasts or things that, people that might be taking their insurance or people that are offering treatment based on income. You can offer resources, but I'm going to say this, and Kelly, please chime in. The crisis that I've undergone the last couple of few years with a lot of loss is I really enjoy people just checking in. I said this on air before, and I really mean it. Kelly was one of them. Hey, how you doing? Right? Just like, how are you doing? And sometimes she would be like, you can call me, I'm up. Right? She would put that in there. So it just having people check on you, like sometimes it feels so isolating. When you're going through a crisis, when you're going through a crisis with your kid, like Kelly has gone through, and everybody's making college announcements, and you're like trying to get your child to matriculate from high school, having somebody there makes it feel like you're not as isolated. And so I just say check on them. If you can pass along a job tip or a connection, that's fine. But just tell them that you love them. Take, someone bought over for me. I did something for someone and she bought over a meal for me. And this is a really busy 3 weeks. So feeding my boys it was a big thing, for me that she did that while I was out of town. Lashina said, how are you doing? How can I support you? Right. Like
That's
figuring
right.
out, like, what does the person need? Right. I have a person who likes a friend who likes to walk. And so I said to her, why don't you find someone to walk with? Right. Because in the, and the, and she, I told her a friend of mine near her that likes to walk. And so they're walking together and she gets a little bit of therapy because that friend that she's walking with now is a therapist.
Awesome.
But to really focus on how you can, support people. And then we're always praying for them. We're passing along resources. We're passing along job tips. During COVID, I had a missed delivery of 10 pork loins and I sent some along to my friend who has even taller sons than I do. Any little thing sometimes helps, right? You have two of one thing and you don't need that second one. Pass it along. Your friend's trying to get healthier. You have a juicer. Pass that along. Go ahead, Kelly.
I was just going to build by saying, ask. Sometimes people don't even know what they need, and just showing up helps. As I was sharing with you before we got on the call, I remember Deb, who was on, and a few of the other girlfriends just showed up to help me pack up my kitchen one night. And Dr. Vicky came and helped me do the office one day because I was clearly sounding completely overwhelmed. And had they said, "Well, can we come help you?" I probably would have said, "No, I'm good." But they didn't ask. They just showed up. And that was priceless. So sometimes I think when we say, "Well, what do you need?" People don't necessarily know what they need, or they're not necessarily, most of us are willing to, we do try to do it all by ourselves. But sometimes it's just showing up, I think.
Right. And you know
unannounced.
that hyper independence that we have is a form of trauma. It's an outgrowth of trauma. You do it, you know, you do it ourselves. Yeah, show up. Sometimes I'll just like when someone is suffering a death in the family or have a baby or grandbaby, sometimes I'll just show up with a meal and I ring the bell. Right, I know they're there. I'm not going to visit. I'm just like here. This is the spaghetti.
Right. Just gonna drop it off on me.
Really,
I oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. You know what? I just wanted to say, I really appreciate you saying that because that is such a simple advice, but you actually sound like all of them. I mean, and I didn't get it, you know, but I was like, what you, they, I think you're right. They just didn't know.
Right.
Don't know. And those are some things that are easy to do.
Right. Or
I
even sending like
appreciate
an
it.
Uber Eats gift card, you know, like saying, hey, got your gift cards and your Uber Eats. You know, you could do those things
Right.
electronically. We had a woman on here who's, I won't share her name. Years ago, her husband died by suicide. It was right before Christmas. And she was saying how she couldn't get out of bed, just couldn't get out of bed. And so we delivered a woman who used to work with us closely, who's now in California, went and bought all this food and took her Christmas dinner and delivered it to her front porch. And I sent her a text saying, hey, there's some stuff at your front porch for your family. And she just said, I can't get out of bed. She was so devastated. Of course, she was devastated. But her kids were there. You know, I think they were teens at the time. So those are the little things. And sometimes it's just the little things that really
Again,
matter.
you know, I got a note the other day from someone who knows that I'm going through some things with my family, and she was just like, hang in there. Just know that I love you and I'm thinking about you every day. That's how I started my day, was
Which
her
is
text.
wonderful. Yeah.
And just like gave me that. You can give somebody that impetus to get out of bed, that to take one step, to even roll over and say, I can do this.
Right. Exactly.
And I just want to go ahead.
I want to also just say the daily word pops in my, you know, there's a whole
Yes.
bunch of different things, but the daily word is a simple thing, pops in my phone every morning, and it's a wonderful way to start the day. But I do want to acknowledge there's a question in the chat that I want to read. It says, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Dr. McGee, for voicing the overwhelming pressure we are receiving. So much of what we have looked forward to for our families, our community, and world feels under threat. Any resources, parentheses, job loss, housing, etc., or go-tos or safe spaces we can use and share with folks who are holding on and even in crisis? It's a question. Yesterday, I saw the new documentary on the Democracy Now! Program at AFI Silver Spring, at least through Thursday, and in some theaters around the country. It couldn't have come at a better time. Stay inspired. We've been through a lot and can continue to make it. Her question is about, do you have any additional go-tos that could be helpful while we all feel like we are under threat?
One of the things that has occurred to me too is that we need to continue to talk about mental health. Some of you on the line, I know Kelly remembers this a couple years ago. A few years ago, I was helping to circulate a film called I'm Good, Bro, Unmasking Black Male Depression. And it's available online. And I think it's on one of the Rokus or something like that also. I'm Good, Bro, Unmasking Black Male Depression. And there's a part two. We need to continue to press that valve, right? To talk about depression with our sons, to talk about depression with our husbands, to talk about the fact that men are starting to realize that they need treatment, right? And women too. But I particularly wanted to emphasize men because women have been getting the message, consistent message about getting therapy, and men still are fighting with it's a sign of weakness. It's a sign that I can't solve my own problems. But we need in our homes, in our churches, we need to continue to sponsor and suggest mental health programs, in our community organizations, in your sororities, in your other social groups. We need to continue to talk about mental health and bringing in mental health care speakers, parenting speakers, to keep talking about it, because we tend to move on to other things, but we're still struggling in our community with mental health issues.
Thank you for that, Dr. Lindsay. There's a hand up as well. And feel free to come off of mute if you'd like.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I do want to, I'm not sure, it seems like if any subject is available to talk
Yes.
about right now. Okay. I came on today to just discuss like my own just like anxieties. I have a 23-year-old with who's been diagnosed with a special needs with language differences, like neurocognitive delays. And we find I've been through this since he was age 3. And at the end of the day, we finally gotten to a place where I feel like I found great resources for him as a young adult, because the system is just not set up to really support them. And I've kind of got a PhD a little bit in just life experience on how to get through all of these different stages with kids, especially Black young men who have special needs and this system and how it kind of forgets about them. In all of that, he's doing well. But when he comes back home, like he's in a college out of town, it's a school in Florida that gives actual deep bachelor degrees, accredited bachelor degrees for students with differences. And when he comes home, I get concerned because he's great when he's there because of all the support that's around him. The infrastructure of the school is wonderful. All the students have the same kind of, everybody's got something. But coming home, I feel he gets isolated because he's no longer in the circles that I created for him as a child, like a Jack and Jill or things like that, because he graduated out. So it's when he comes home, it feels worrisome that he tends to lean into whomever will give him attention, and that's not always the better options. And I'm just kind of trying to figure out if anyone knows any resources and things that connect young men, to keep them engaged with socially, that there's not availed, that I might not know about. I'm not sure if I'm really explaining it properly, but it's as if these next 2 months coming have me in a real bind because I concern myself with him hanging out with people who will take advantage and utilize some of the deficits that he has to take his money, to get him smoking, all of these things that we've gotten him out of because we put him that he put him in a place that gives him those kinds of supports. And yeah, I don't know, maybe you don't, but this just kind of wanted to put it out there to maybe other parents that may have kids that are no longer younger and how do we navigate this young adult the stage with a little bit of support. Thank you. Sorry for that long testimony.
Well, first of all, thank you for bringing this up because I think that this is a problem that a
Train comes
lot
at
of
10:54.
this is a problem that a
That's in an
lot.
hour.
I'm sorry, somebody's not muted.
I just muted
Sorry.
them. We're good now.
Okay. This is a problem that a lot of people face. A lot of the system is geared toward people that are not adults. Right. And so when you become an adult, when you become 18, when you become 21, a lot of the groups, a lot of the organizations tend to be geared toward like they end at teenagehood. But there are national organizations like NAMI. I know Kelly's tied to them. There are like neurodiverse organizations, Black Autism. That if you like start to search for resources, I mean, I think that the group interventions at that age are particularly good because it gives them a little bit of a social group. It gives them somewhere to go, and it gives them some clues about who, maybe people that they could be friendly with. But I also think that there's a lot of gaps, particularly for children of color. And, I was talking to someone the other day in her community. I think it was somewhere in Texas, where she sort of put out a SOS on Facebook or something like that. And it started like an online chat between like a group of young neurodiverse African American males. So, let's think about ways that we can form do that ourselves, and if I can help you at all to by connecting you with the mental health professional that might be able to assist you, let me know.
I was gonna just add, we used to have something that I'm gonna we are going to bring back. It was called Brothers Unfiltered, and it was a hosted conversation just like this, only for men. And we did it after doing this congressional day on May 1st a few years ago, which was all about Black men and youth, Black men, young men, men, just all men. And as you were talking, as the last speaker was calling, was talking, it brought back this notion of bringing that back, and with a twist, because just this week I was at a conference and I heard 2 Chainz speaking with MC Light, and his conversation, he has a book about out that he wrote about listening to God, which is really deep. And he's a really interesting and really profound person. But I believe we can bring back a conversation that really is a safe space, not recorded, and with a therapist, as well as a trusted influencer, like somebody that our young people would listen to. That would drop some wisdom and some knowledge, but that would get them there. Because I do my thought around organizations like NAMI, which are phenomenal, and so many other amazing organizations, unless there's a reason or a hook to get our young men to want to be there, to want to show up, they may not want to. Because I have the same challenge with my 24-year-old. He's not going to show up for a NAMI support group call. But he might show up to talk to 2 Chainz on video, for a moment, or somebody like one of his people that he aspires to or people that he admires. So I'm sharing that out loud to say I think a 1 hour weekly conversation just for men, hosted always with somebody that is a licensed professional like you, Dr. Linda, as well as somebody that would be intriguing or interesting for a young man would be, I think, a nice way to have a space. Because just like you, when my son went to various treatment facilities or places, rehabs, what have you, he was amazing while he was there. He also learned all the different techniques and is, we'll share with you, we'll share with people. I know all of them. I can speak any type of therapeutic method. Which one you want? He's very smart, but he'd come right back to the same environment and call his old friends up. It wasn't like anybody else was influencing him. He was a part of the same environment that he had just left. So having him come back to the same space, that habits repeated themselves very quickly because he was in the same environment. So I'm just thinking out loud here and also sharing that. That would be something easy to do. And also, there's this brother who runs the Congressional Black Caucus, Vincent, who I was chatting with, who said the next chair of the CBC, his entire focus is mental health. And I said, let's do something. Let's create a program that is a free, safe space, just like this. It's free every week. We're here every week, but a space for young men to get together. I think that would be, that's my suggestion, and when I'm speaking it out loud to make sure we do it, because to myself, and I know that's a big focus
Well,
of
I
yours
mean,
too,
obviously,
Dr. Linda.
yeah, I would love to participate in something like that. And
Absolutely.
also, like what you said, Kelly. Celebrities and influencers, they are a hook. But also like trying to figure out like if you can use their interests as hooks, like gaming. right?
Yes.
You know, a friend of mine's daughter has started to put together these old school DJ parties, and she has them around DC, and then she's gotten some boys to come out,
Yeah.
right? Like first it started off with just one or two guys, and these are like mostly 20s and 30s. And but she just does it around music of the 90s, music of the
Yes.
2000s. Like I said, gaming, any sports, anything that we can use as a hook. You know, come watch this. There's going to be this. So and so is going to be there.
Right. I love that. So
Any,
it's something to explore for sure and make it
right,
happen.
right.
So, and Brothers Unfiltered, we did for years, and Dr. Rick Wallace was our host, and he unfortunately passed away at the gym. Young, healthy, I think he was 55 years old, was running on the treadmill, had a heart attack. So, we then had a man named Dr. Haleem Ali, who does phenomenal work in Denver with young men. But then we just said, you know what, let's put a pause on that. But now I think it's time to re-bring it back. Thank you, Don, for sharing that. So we do need that. We need that for our young men and our older men. I was just at the David and Tamela Mann show last weekend, and David Mann talks openly now for the first time about his situations with mental health, you know, and had a we produced something called Man to Man, where he was talking with Kirk Franklin and several other people, and they all talked about having suicidal ideation at some point in their lives when things got really tough. And but just by opening up and having the conversation allows other people to have the same conversation and say, wow, if that could happen to him, I can talk about it. So that's the first part. It's like being able to talk about it and being vulnerable. But I can't believe it's already 9:53 a.m.
My
Eastern time.
goodness. And
I want to go ahead,
can I just
Dr.
add
Linda.
in quickly? A friend of mine started a group with the LGBTQ community, groups online. He started one group with eight people. Now he's up to 10 groups. So there are
I love it.
a lot of intersections of things that our children need to talk about that they need forms and space for. Just
Yes.
bear in mind that a lot of our children are operating at these intersections. They're not just black and 24. They're black and they're exploring their sexuality. And they're exploring their gender. And they
Yes.
need avenues by which to do that. And so if we could just be open to that,
Absolutely. 1,000%. So a few other, well, I want to make sure we have time. If anybody has any other questions, please feel free to come off of mute. There's a note that says, I found support in a support group, mainly with an older population, for a major health condition one of my sons experienced. Following the crisis time, I became a volunteer with the org. Even though my son has preferred online forums with younger folks, this volunteer role has provided me with insights, contacts, and hope. I love that hope that I share with him from time to time. I really love that. I also watch church with my youngest now. You know, he's going through some things, and we sit and watch church together on FaceTime on Sunday mornings, which has been really helpful, I think, for me and for him. Any other
Now,
questions from the community before it's time to wrap? And Dr. Lindsay, I cut you off. You about to say something?
that's fine. You can ask for we can ask for one more comment, but what I was going to say while we're waiting is that I think it has been a wonderful morning. As one of our comments is are saying, but I think the bottom line is two bottom lines. One is, acknowledge that anger and pain, acknowledge that conflict you feel about the people that are sitting next to you at work. I acknowledge that you're fighting not to hate certain people. I'm praying every day. I don't want to hate. I don't want to hate them. Whoever the them is, I don't want to hate them. And then the second thing is that came out of this talk, this pretty organically, is that stand by one another. Stand with your friends, your loved ones, your neighbor's kid. Stand with them.
Yes, I love that. Stand with one another. Are there any other questions or thoughts? Dr. Linda is such a, and she said earlier she was our very first speaker. She's also on our board. She's here every first Sunday of the month, and so we have, I call it free. It's not real, it's not a real therapy session, but it really is. It's like therapy with a therapist and lawyer, and she's a mom just like us of a young man. So anybody else have a thought or something on your heart you might want to share, feel
And
free or put it in the
then
chat if you're more
Kelly,
comfortable. Yes.
we just have to be creative in how we present this forum. And we might have to have some people come in and talk about careers. And I keep telling every young people I met, prepare to pivot, and then same goes true for us too, right? It's like figure out what you want and then try to start pivoting. What kind of life do you want? And then start pivoting toward it. So let's like be open to programming now that we're in some valleys, right? To have some programming that can speak directly to that, and have experts on who can speak directly to that.
I love that idea. I love that idea. There's still, Jotaica still does her Win with Black Women call on Sunday nights. I think it's at 8:30 p.m. And so she has awesome resources and speakers there if anyone's interested. It's winwithblackwomen.org, I believe.
And
Jotaica
then
Edie, she's phenomenal.
one more thing I wanted to say is that on the all of the social media today, if people are interested in Voting Rights Act, there's all kinds of calls. I think Eric Holder is doing one tomorrow night. Try to find ways to get involved if that's what you want.
That's right. We all need to get involved when we have elections coming up this year. And so that's one way to get involved. I think even getting people to the polls. And I was hearing the other day at this conference how so many HBCU polling locations have been shut down for early voting. And so a lot of those young people don't have cars. And, so even helping people just get to the polls, I think, will be a big
We
thing
have
that we
to
can all do.
galvanize. I went to a Seder for Passover, and it was a Seder where you had to make a commitment to do something at the end.
Yes.
And so other groups are galvanizing. We have to galvanize too.
That's right. Agree. I love that prepare to pivot. That's what we're all doing. I know, and I too, just like you, Pamela, I'm an entrepreneur, and so pivoting is the story of my life too. I love that
Same here.
comment.
Kelly and I have been talking about this for years. And one of the reasons why I chose to go to university is to like not just be an entrepreneur.
Right. And have different streams of income. We had Dr. Lynn Richardson here a few weeks ago talking about making sure we all have different streams of income in
That's
different
what I'm working
ways.
on.
Yep, very critical. And I see Greta, my friend, who offered how a few weeks ago also, she's had a beautiful testimony and she shared how she schedules monthly dinners. She just schedules them, puts them on the calendar. So let's say it's May 15th. She puts it on the calendar and invites a girlfriend or two or three or whatever, but she schedules the date so she has an automatic opportunity to engage with her sister friends, which I thought was a lovely idea too. So in the midst of all of the craziness that's happening in our world, we can do little things that make a difference.
And really the last thing, Kelly, is please take a minute to encourage the young people. All of this is coming down on them at the same time. They don't understand it. And regardless of their color or their ethnicity, just give a moment to tell them to continue to work hard, have faith, and move forward. But they need to hear from us.
And the other young people, Lexi Hopkins Cunningham, she's comes on once a quarter or so. She's probably in her mid-20s and she specializes in, she's a suicidologist. That's what she is her field of study. She's an incredible speaker, and I think also would be good to have peer-to-peer conversations with young people, like in the same age group. I'm sharing that out loud as I think about Sisters Unfiltered with the Dr. Vicky hosts every month. That's on the third Wednesday. And then when we bring back Brothers Unfiltered, I think it's important to have to get our young people to hear from people in the same generation. I think that's an important piece too. But, any last comments, Dr. Linda, as we get ready to close? Oh, it's time to close. Okay.
Yes.
The time has flown by. Well, all right. Thank you all for being here, Dr. Vicky. I'm going to turn it over to you to close us out this morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Dr. Linda. As always, I so look forward to every first Sunday. It's so empowering and refreshing. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day, a beautiful day that we've never seen before. Thank you for brand new mercies and grace that is sufficient, favor that surrounds us. We thank you for this Sunrise Project community call every week. Thank you for Kelly and Dee and Dr. Linda and all of those who have come before to speak with us and share very transparently. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for the power of community. Thank you for a safe space to be transparent and vulnerable. Thank you for every household that is represented on this call. Help us to implement and execute. First, remember some of the things that we share on this call, and then help us to daily practice some of the tools that have been shared to help us be better people, better parents, so that we can help our children. Now, bless us as we go forward into this day, into this week. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your wisdom, guidance. Thank you for divine connections that are looking for us, that will cross our paths to help us with what we need to be, all that you've created us to be. Again, bless us as we go forward in this day, wrapped with gratitude. And we thank you for ordering our steps and bring us back together again on next Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern. In your name, we do pray and give thanks. Amen. Have a powerful day,
Amen.
everyone.
Thank you so much for
Amen.
that lovely prayer.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. And next week is Mother's Day, and we will have Coach Bev Kearney with her daughter here speaking about their journey. And yes, Dr. Linda, were you about to say
Can you
something?
stay on?
I will stay on. Thank you, everyone. Have a
Have a
beautiful
good week,
day.
everybody.